Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. Doc, we're in the studio right in the middle of a great series that we've called Hope for Hopeless Times, study out of the life and prayers of Habakkuk. We noted that this little book consists of three prayers that Habakkuk prayed in very, very dark days. In the studio with us is a good friend of ours and a pastor out on the island of Guam, Dr. Marty Heron. Marty, you were here for many years at Northland and worked with Doc for many, many years, and it's always a blessing to have you on the broadcast.
Well, we're grateful, Sam, because it has so much application for us today, because there are lots of folks around the world that really, even as God's children, we can lose our hope.
Well, I mean, you kind of live out on the frontiers of our wonderful country, and you interact with a lot of other cultures and other societies. Are you seeing the same kinds of things there that we're seeing here?
Yeah, absolutely. The people are wondering what is going on. We are out of control. And then we start trying to look to our leadership to provide security, and that even gives us a greater hopelessness.
It kind of takes away even the little hope that we have.
And I appreciate the emphasis the last few broadcasts that as Habakkuk was himself, in all sincerity, asking God, that's looking out horizontally, and why am I having to take this? Because we didn't do it, but God was using that to judge a nation. And God ultimately got his view from the horizontal to the vertical, going to the watchtower and seeing, God, how are you going to respond? And that's where we left.
Yeah, in fact, we left Habakkuk up in his prayer tower asking these questions. And, Doc, you gave us some great answers to those questions the last time. But here's a question I would have, maybe out of Habakkuk's own life. And I know we talked a little bit as we were getting ready to do this particular broadcast. But here I am, you know, listening to the broadcast, and I'm trying to be like Habakkuk, and I'm in my prayer tower, and God has told me, I'm going to give you an answer. You need to wait for it. I am on my throne. How do I make it in the meantime? Because I'm still going to have the enemy come upon me. I'm still going to go through the affliction. My confidence is sure in that God is going to bring his vision to pass, but how do I make it in the meantime? How do I live through the next 5 or 6 years while I wait for all of this to come to pass if I'm a Habakkuk?
How did David answer that? He said, my expectation is from him. Mm. One of the big difficulties we deal with as human beings is we develop a set of expectations in our mind. Those expectations, if I do this, then this will be true. If I do this, then this will be true. And if that, our logic system breaks down, our expectations are demolished. So David's expectations had to be transferred back to God, because you study the life of David, and he had major highs and he had major lows. And I'd like to look at the book of Psalms as a limpid lake that reflects every mood of human character. And every mood in the heart of a believer is reflected in David's highs and lows. And I think one of the problems that we have, and I think Habakkuk experienced, was that of expectations. That is, God, I didn't expect this. But yet, when we yield expectations, then the only expectation we have is from him. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So we can live heart sick, hoping. And when that hope is deferred, then we can be heart sick, or we can say, okay, we're going to wait on God.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the answer? And I believe chapter 2 and verse 4 gives us, and Habakkuk, again, if you're tuning in for the first broadcast, and I would encourage you to go back and try to get some of these other broadcasts. But we have been tracing the dilemma of the prayer of Habakkuk. And now we find in verse 4. Why don't you read verse 4, Doc?
This is the answer that Habakkuk got. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
What is the contrast here? Now, God is answering Habakkuk. And he said, Habakkuk, I have things in control. It is my calendar, not your calendar. It is my clock, not your clock. You're my child, and I am in control. The wicked are going to have their day. Now, what is the contrast in verse 4?
I think he's contrasting two kinds of people, a person who is righteous and a person who isn't, and the difference is their faith.
And one is proud, self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. The other is in a position of absolute poverty apart from God's mm-hmm. grace. We are in poverty apart from his grace. And he says, Habakkuk, his soul, i.e. the one you're worried about coming to judge, his soul is not upright. It's uplifted. He is proud. But how are you going to live? You are going to live by your faith. You remember a few broadcasts we did on Hebrews chapter 11, on the faith chapter we did on the life of Noah. And that is the basis. I have had many, many times to survive in my life to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And as a believer, I've had to live in Hebrews chapter 11 a lot because it says, many of these died never having seen the promise. But without them, we cannot be made perfect. And as believers, what does our life boil down to? It boils down to our faith. Do we really believe God's word? And faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. So the anchor point then is, do I really believe that? And, okay, God said it. Now can I wait? Or if God said it, now God do it.
And that's the way I typically am. And I think that's the way a lot of our people who are in our churches are. We believe, but we get frustrated if God doesn't do it today or at least by tomorrow.
See, as we mentioned when we did the faith broadcast, the logical mind is not offended by Christian evidences. As opposed to a Christian apologetic. A Christian evidence is fulfilled prophecy. This prophecy was given the very day it was fulfilled. This archaeological dig discovered the authenticity of Jericho.
Right.
Hey, that's impressive. Where does the human logic get offended? At faith.
Where there's no evidence.
There's no evidence. It is God said it, period. And it's going to come to pass. That's how Noah operated. The word was central in his mind. Worship was central in his mind. Work flowed out of his life by faith. 120 years of it. Witness was very clear, condemned the world. And his wage, he became the heir of righteousness, which was by faith. And what was it all? By faith. Now, read again the last part of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Then I want us to go into the New Testament references.
But the just shall live by his faith.
Okay, now, where do these words appear in the New Testament?
Well, I think they appear at least in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, and I know there's two other places, but at least in, we'll start with Romans 1. Let me read verse 17. Paul said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith."
So what is the emphasis on the Romans 1:17 passage?
I think it's on the just.
Yeah, it's on the just. Because the righteousness of God is revealed by faith. The just shall live by his faith. So what are we talking about here? The justified man made righteous by God. Dr. Herron, do you have Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11 there? Because we see another reference there on this.
Yeah, this is how Paul said it here in verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
So the emphasis here then is not on the just. The emphasis here is on faith. It's not the law. It is our trust in God by faith. And so we see that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11.
So that's how we got to be just.
You're right, by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
And let me ask Les with this, what happens if a person says, I have faith? And I'm thinking of the passage of the man that said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What level of faith does it take for a person to be justified then?
Well, that's a good question because there were two things the disciples asked the Lord for. One was teach us to pray. Same chapter. Lord, increase our faith. How does faith increase? My faith increases as my confidence in the character of the promise giver increases. That demands my time in the Word because the only way my confidence in the promise giver is going to increase is spend time studying his character. Historically, how has he worked? This is very consistent with God's character. If I don't have a history of how my God works, I'm going to be very frustrated when my present expectation is not met.
Right.
And so it demands us to be in the Word meditating on the nature and the character of our God. How does our faith increase? Our faith increases as our confidence in the promise giver, because faith is based in the character of the giver. Noah moved based on the character. That's why his heart was lifted up in worship. And that's what I think. As believers, we have to bury our heads in the Word.
And I think that's what we're not doing. I actually think that part of the reason we're not where Habakkuk was at the end of chapter 2 and then going to chapter 3 isn't because we're not saved. It's because we haven't really come to understand the record God gave us that authenticates all of his promises. I mean, look at all the promises he's kept. Why do you think he's not going to keep this one to you?
Well, and I think, Sam, as well, you know, as your broadcast is doing and other broadcasts that we carry on our radio station at KHMG, we're trying to get word-based programs because it's easy. And what's out there is, well, now it's my experience that's driving my relationship with God rather than God's word, and which is obviously eternal and secure. And I know that's so basic, but it is missing in a whole lot of churches.
One of my fears, and man, I appreciate all the good radio programs out there, and I'm thankful for every listener that we have to the programs that we do, but this can never be a replacement for personally getting your Bible out in the morning and burying your head in the pages and personally meeting God in those pages. We can remind you of who God is, but God has to show you from his word on a personal level. And I know that's been a heartbeat of yours, Doc, in terms of really helping us to be focused in getting into the word on a personal basis.
And get under the preaching of the word in a local church. They say, well, they said on the broadcast, get in the word and stay home Sunday morning. No, you forsake not the gathering of yourselves together in that local church body. And if I spend more of my time watching Fox, CNN, and ESPN, my faith is going to tank because I can't even watch ESPN now because they're talking about Brett Favre negatively. Boy, my faith is tanking big time. And but if I spend my time looking at God's truth, my faith is going to increase. Let's get one more reference in Hebrews 10:38.
Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
What do you think the emphasis is here in context of the fact, for yet a little while, it says in verse 37, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. You have need of great patience. What is the emphasis here?
I think this is a just man who has been made just by his faith, now living out that faith.
Living. Live by faith.
For those of you listening, if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that today. The Bible says you can call on the Lord and ask him for forgiveness of your sins, and he will hear an answer from heaven. And I hope that if you haven't done that, you'll do that. We would be delighted to be a part in helping you come to a personal knowledge of and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.